Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And this week we are talking about Rick's recommendation, Rick's choice, I would actually say, rather than recommendation, is the Demon Sword Master of Excalibur Academy. But before that, if you want to hear our rather heated discussion, debate, and just all sorts of craziness delving into Rick logic all the way as I die on a hill defending that my position on a particular food product, you can join us live on twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast, where you get to hear all these conversations live and get to hear it completely unfiltered. Or you can become a patron at patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to the bonus content. Or if you want to help support us through other means, we do have donation links for you in the show notes. And you can also go to our shop, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, to buy yourself some swanky swag that does help support us, help us grow. Or if you want, you can even use the promo code Featured Anime with our affiliate link in the show notes for Tokyo Treat to get $5 off your first box. And trust me, the treats are worth it, and they are oh so delicious. And now, onto the meat and bro-tatoes. The Demon Sword Master of Excalibur Academy is 12 episodes long. It aired from October 2023 through December 2023, so fairly recent for us, considering the fact that it just ended. Producers for it are MediaNet, Nippon, Plus 7, just to name a couple of them. And the studio for it is Passion. It's based off of a light novel. Genres are action, adventure, fantasy, harem, just to kind of round it out. I would not include ecchi on this, although it does kind of delve on it. So there are some risque themes or views, but I mean, like it's not as prevalent or a larger focal point compared to a lot of the other anime that are ecchi focused, so to speak.
I would agree with that.
Basically what ends up, so you're starting off in an ancient kingdom that is 1,000 years old, where we're first introduced to our main protagonist, Leonis, who's, the demon lord, who is a demon lord. He, to fulfill a promise, chooses to reincarnate himself and arrives 1,000 years into the future. However, the reincarnation process, the spell actually was flawed. He ended up being about 10 years old. He says he's 10 years old. No one knows how old he actually is. And then he meets Roselia, a girl who is confronting the voids, and the voids are humanity's next biggest danger. And so this is basically his journey through the world 1,000 years into the future, him trying to find a goddess that he promised he would go to the ends of the earth for, to try and find. And that is basically it. That is the sum of it. It's him on a island, man-made built island ship type thing, and they are fighting these creatures that are called voids, and trying to basically fight and survive. And he is trying to learn and grow with the world around him and make a new demon army to grow and take over the world.
I mean, that's pretty much the whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't very deep. It wasn't very,
it was shallow.
Yeah.
Had no substance.
Surface level. It was fan service. That's what it was. In my mind, it had more generic everything than anything else. And for being an overpowered protagonist, my biggest gripe is these famous famed level 10 spells that he almost exclusively uses didn't do diddly squat in reference to what I think a level 10 should have been, because he was supposedly this ultimate mage, essentially this ultimate necromancer that could like unleash level 10 spells every 2-3 seconds, every two, three, well, whatever.
To be fair, armies. Right? So at the very beginning, when you're talking about that, he does say it is the amount, because he even comments, it's like, that's the best this spell, that's the best it can do. There's still bones left. And he's actually very disappointed in the reaction and what happened, because apparently for his body and the amount of magic that he has at his current level, while it is massive in comparison, the fact that no one else really has magic, so to speak, in a sense, he does
comment on the fact that his mana pool is far smaller than what he used to have.
So,
and he equates that to his human body.
Well, that, and I would also kind of equate that to him being younger too.
Yeah, but I equate the younger to his human body, because he's got a rather, I would say, interesting backstory.
He does.
In the sense that he used to be one of the six heroes. Was it six or seven heroes? Was
it eight heroes? Six heroes, multiple, got eight demon lords.
Yeah, like there you go.
Four gods and goddesses and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, seriously, though. But basically, yeah, he's one of the six heroes. He's one of the youngest, and he's virtuous, and he's everything you'd want him he's everything you'd want in a hero. He thinks of the people first. He thinks of any time he moves as a hero, he's selfless. He doesn't have the wherewithal to have any self-preservation. And this is fundamentally shown in one of the earlier episodes when they do a flashback to him being a human and him being young, 12 years old, I think it was, and defeating orcs and the like. And what ends up happening is they're trying to save this town that's been overrun with these monsters. And he's got a very old, wise, you would assume, sage, and this angelic healer. And their intention is to turn it to basically above the city, put a small sun that will cook, bake, boil.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got kind of lost in thought there while you were trying to describe. Yes. No, like I wouldn't consider the other heroes to be really heroes, considering how morbid and evil that they are. And it's like
morally corrupt.
Yeah, they are 100% corrupt on it. And it's even commented on it that the other heroes are corrupt. And then it's also commented on how he was not corrupt.
Yeah, he was innocent.
Yeah.
And in their eradication of these monsters, they were going to wipe out the city. And the reason is, I can resurrect all of the people. So we can just get rid of the monsters and resurrect the people. Minimal damage. And as a topical solution, that makes perfect sense. You know, if you're not going to damage any of the buildings and you're not going to leave anybody with long-term illnesses, and you could probably actually heal them better than they were originally, then, you know, it makes sense. However,
well, it wouldn't be that they heal them better than they were originally. I mean, like the very fact that you're killing someone, I mean, there's still that psychological scarring, right? Especially for the children that are going to be going through that. I mean, like there's going to be that scarring for it. So,
but I was saying, like, let's say you broke your arm 3 years ago and it healed, but it wasn't healed correctly. You are incinerated and brought back and healed. You are now in a better physical condition. So that's the only reason I say that you could possibly be better than you were before. But there's, you still have the psychological trauma of being boiled and alive.
Yeah. And I like the contrast and the dynamic in between him and them. However, it is very brief in which you see them, right? And when you're first introduced to the other two heroes, it's not in the forms that you see when that is happening. You see them in their final form. When he's already, and Leonis used to be a hero. He is no longer a hero. He is a demon lord.
Correct.
And what ends up happening too is the others kind of like pay heed or homage or whatever to the gods. And then they get an X power or whatever it is. And their forms kind of change, pseudo change or whatever it is. at the exact same time. But the main focal point of the story really isn't the backstory of it. Those are small snippets of it, which I'm glad that they didn't really focus the whole bunch of time on there. They only focused small parts of the discussion on it and showed you the snippets to kind of help you understand the personality and how they are. Like, so that way you can gain an understanding of how that person is. And if they don't do the backstory on it, they're very good at telling you about the individual, right? Or they make references to the individual, and, or they'll make small iterative references to the individual throughout the thing. Case in point is the dog, the wolf. Okay. Who's actually a prince. And he was taught, Leonis was taught certain things by the Blackest Shadow Prince, which is the wolf's name, Blackest. But which you is also, why
I think he has shadow powers.
Yes, but who had taught Leonis those powers, and he even comments it. It's like, he taught me these powers and everything like that. Now, what's interesting is over 1,000 years has gone by, and their official classifications are shadow. So that technically means they're ageless, right?
That would be my understanding.
Okay.
That their classification would be shadow, but I think what actually happened due to the fact that, so Leonis was, as you said, originally a hero, and he was betrayed, but not, he didn't seek vengeance at all.
Oh,
and,
yeah, no, he was
approached him.
Yeah.
And was like, heroes kind of bore me, but you're interesting. You're honest. You're this, you're that. And she kind of saves his life, or resurrects him, if you will, because he was betrayed for the exact same reasons that he was a hero. He could not be purchased. He's too strong. If he had some kind of vice, they could use it and they could manipulate him and be able to control the hero. But because he would be, as a D&D character would be, he'd be not neutral good and not chaotic good, but neutral good, I guess, would be the thing.
He'd just be neutral. He would be neutral because he didn't harbor any anger or hate. He didn't have a great life growing up. He didn't have, he's like, it's all just a matter of happenstance, all a matter of circumstance. It's kind of just move about my life. Well, it's kind of how it is.
Reason why I say neutral good is because he strove to do good. He avoided evil. When he had the choice to do good, he did, from what we saw. And remained true to his virtue, whatever he deemed to be virtuous. Like when he became this the necromancer, essentially, he pledged his allegiance to the goddess that he followed, and he never wavered.
True. And I would say he's more honorable than I would classify neutral good. He was just neutral because good, right, is entirely in the eye of the beholder, right? So, or it could be a matter of circumstance, right? Victor dictates history. You're on the opposing side and you win, the other side was the evil side. Okay.
This is true.
So kind of just,
I guess what I can say is he maintained his moral compass.
I'll agree with that 100%. He did maintain his moral compass. If anything, I think he used his moral compass to his advantage, to as given certain restrictions, right?
Of course, yes.
And
100% of the time.
I like that the anime didn't take anything way too serious, right? It was whimsical. It was nonsensical. They definitely left a lot to be desired, though, for it. The story, I felt, overall was kind of lackluster.
Bland.
Very bland. Very cookie-cutter-ish. It was...
Not even chocolate chip cookie. Sugar cookie.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like they... It's like they couldn't really decide on what they wanted to do. So, like, and I know that there's a light novel on this, and so, kind of like... And I'll save this for the post show. But I have some particular viewpoints, and I will save it. It's not irrelevant. It's not relevant to the show. That's why I will save it.
my opinion relevant to the show would be that they focused, that they relied too heavily on adult humor dragging the plot flow forward.
Yes, yes. And they had like certain scenes or certain situations where you're watching it and it's like, okay, I mean, like, that's obviously fan service, right? He's there, yeah. He's getting scanned, he looks, and while where he's looking, what's her face is Elfine, her boobs just happen to be kind of in the way of the monitor, mm-hmm. where it takes up half the screen on the TV anyways, for yeah. him to look at the map. He's like, oh, what's that right there? It's like, well, where are you looking, buddy? You looking at the monitor, or are you looking at the big old pies right there in front of you?
Yeah. And I did like the fact that he seemed to be incredibly innocent, but at the same time, it was all an act.
Yes.
Because he already lived thousands of years. Well, no, I'm going to say he probably only lived like maybe 85 years total. And the reason I say that is because he was 12 when we first see him at his youngest for hero status. And around, I want to say, 18 to 20, he was betrayed.
Not even. Killed. He was only 16. But we have time. Yeah, we have no time frame or context for when he was, from when he was killed all the way up to after. I would say he was probably in his 30s when he was, you could see him starting to become a full-fledged demon lord-esque, whatever. And then when you finally meet him, at the very beginning, he's already there, but who knows like how long that's been. So yeah, I would say total life lived beginning to end 85 years. I would agree with you on that. Maybe, you know, but here's the other thing, right? The shadows are there, right? Yeah. And they know what's going on. And then you have the void. And then you also have the references to the other characters that are also from that time frame or viewpoints of those characters or kind of like reincarnation-esque styles of those characters 1,000 years into the future.
I don't know if they were reincarnations so much as they just became so corrupt that
I will say, corrupted. I would say for one of them basically lived barely holding on to the humanity that he had.
Yeah.
For the, one of them, I would say resurrection. The others, I would just,
really?
I will. Yes. Because that's what they specifically state. It's like, you have been resurrected. You've been revived. You've been brought back.
Okay.
And the only reason why that they were alive is because of, or brought back, was because of the mana crystal, which obviously they were still tied to, and the sacrifices mm-hmm. sent to it.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. He realized, so this is why he reincarnated. This is why he came back. He ended up being on the losing side of a battle that was a no-win. And he was instructed by his goddess, hey, I'm going to reincarnate in 1,000 years. It's inevitable. Not my reincarnation, but the fact I'm going to die. Like, it's something that I cannot avoid. And in 1,000 years, I want you to find me. Well, I don't know if it's before or after she had passed. He went to his resurrection spell, for instance, let's call it.
No, it was after, because you saw him saying goodbye to her for the final time. Before that, long before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure because the timeline was very all over the place.
Well, you know that it's 1,000 years in the future. You also know that the reincarnation spell that he had was also a failure.
Was it a failure, though?
That's what he keeps saying.
The reason I think it might not have been a failure is because he reincarnated. He wouldn't reincarnate as a skeleton. He'd reincarnate as himself. As his younger self, granted.
It depends on how he chose to do the spell and the conditions at which and everything, you know, all the factors we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have no idea. And reincarnation, I'm using reincarnation loosely because we don't know what it could have been. It could have been just a very unique and particular spell.
Okay.
And I will go into more details much, much later.
Okay. And the pre-show or the post-show?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
I'm good with that because you must know something that I don't.
Well, it has to do with like end game stuff. Final episode, spoiler stuff. You know how yeah, we usually try to be good.
We will be good, but what I will say is they saved far too much for the final episode.
They did. They saved a lot for the final episode where it was like a giant hoorah. Let's finally get all this out there and everything like that. You know, like the last, I mean, for the first few episodes, they do a lot of groundwork. They lay a lot of groundwork. They have it laid out for you. You're starting to get introduced to all these characters. You're being told with all these characters. You're having all this information being thrown at you. And then at the very end, it's just kind of like,
oh, whatever loose ends we have to just do.
Not even that.
Ham-fisted.
It's like, what? Like, for real? And then one of the things that honestly really kind of aggravated me about this anime was the Deus Ex Machina type ending deal that they have going on all the time. And the sword that apparently he can only use, and after he uses, he's useless. Basically, after he uses it, he's like, oh, I'm so exhausted, I can't even move, or whatever it is.
No, but his muscles are sore. He can't swing a sword because he's weak.
Yeah.
There was too much of that. It was too much of a glass cannon for it. Because growing up, he was this uber strong individual. Like, he threw an ogre at the age of 12. He cannot be in his reincarnated state. He can't be
that much weaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, he can't be any real young. He's younger than 12, but not by much.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating.
And the other thing is Roselia knows Leonis is basically her master, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, no, I did this thing. And it's like, I can totally do this stuff. And I'm uber powerful. And everyone can see he's uber powerful. But she's still like, oh, he's really, really weak. And I get it. Maybe it's supposed to be a part of the whole facade or whatever, what have you. But I just found it very aggravating every single time. It's like she's treating him literally like a child. And I get it because he is a quote unquote child. But when someone's your minion, I feel like at that point, like that kind of symbiotic relationship type thing kind of dies.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And he keeps going on and on about she'll be my right hand man and she'll be this, she'll be that. And what's frustrating is out of nowhere, he's incredibly strong. And out of nowhere, she's incredibly strong. And then out of nowhere, they're incredibly weak. And you're like, last episode, you did this feat of strength, this feat of just badassery. And then now.
Yeah.
You get wiped out by a trip.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
So
it was greatly disappointing. It was
one of the scaling definitely needed to be more paid more attention to.
Yes. Yeah. No. It was aggravating. Well, 100%. It was just pure aggravation for me. Like with how bad the story was, how bad it was written, how bad everything happened. How the main character was acting. I mean, like, the dude could even portray and pretend to be taller and bigger if he wanted to, right?
No, he did that, and he had this persona that went nowhere.
Yeah, and then also they try to break in comedic relief moments, and it's poorly executed. It's like, what was the purpose of that? Like,
unfortunately,
there was no need for that. You could have just. You know, it felt like they were trying too hard. They were trying to make it entertaining. They were trying to make it funny. They were trying to make an in-depth, great story. They were trying to go through and provide compelling situations to make you kind of root for Leonis or root for Roselia, and you're not. And they even tried going for the emotional route, showing you Roselia's background, showing what happened, or showing about her, showing Regina, her maids or whatever background, trying to give you a little bit of a background story so that we feel sorry for her or whatever, trying touching on that emotional route. And I just felt like I was robbed from main story plot where it could have been a simple discussion of like, I am actually her sister. You know, due to certain circumstances, and just moved on, because that's basically what they did in a longer form.
unfortunately, there was so many different things that you could have done, that you should have done, and there was so much potential wasted. And it just, I looked forward to this. I chose it because one of my friends was like, dude, there's a lot of hype around this. It's supposed to be really good. Well, its source material is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you had told us during the last episode, the reason why you chose it is because your brother told you to check it out, and you started watching. You watched the first couple of episodes, you're like, I'm sold. And the first couple episodes, and in the first episode, my wife walks into the room, she looks at the TV, she looks at me, she goes, Rick chose this, huh? I was like, yep, he most certainly did.
I think I had seen like 3 episodes at that point, and it really did sell me. Like, it had potential. Yes, it was a little bit campy. Yes, there was a few issues going on, but I was like, they're going to resolve it. Everything they've done here looks like it's building to something great. Everything here looks like it's going the correct way. And they just dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball doesn't even begin to describe what they did. They not only dropped the ball, but they kicked it out of the stadium.
I honestly wish they would have just gone with one, not genre, but one age group. And what I mean by that is there was a lot of innuendo. There was a lot of haha funny jokes.
Yes.
And then, unfortunately, they kept going from 12-year-old to 18-year-old, 12-year-old to 18-year-old, as far as humor is concerned. And you're like, now I just feel like it's not just an emotional roller coaster, but I'm not even laughing at the jokes anymore. I find it absurd.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So
I don't know, man. I mean, like, honestly, for this show, I don't have too much I can really dive into it. There is something. It doesn't take place during the last episode, right? So I will talk about this. There's a character couple of characters you're introduced to. One, you don't know how he shows up into the future, but he's from the past, just like apparently everyone else is. That's of importance. Yeah. Time travels. And then you have someone else that Terminator's in to the future.
I was gonna say that
they straight up Terminator's in, comes in crouched, naked, stands up. Oh, look, clothes, takes clothes, puts them on. However, when they Terminator into the area, it's on an abandoned, loosely said, in ruins, basically, is what I would say. In ruins, it would be more accurate.
The premise was that the hero, that the main character, Lannis, was going to awaken at the touch or at the presence or at the rebirth of his goddess, right? And this Terminator chick terminators into an area that supposedly has this goddess about to be reborn fully. And there's no one ever confirms, denies, or anything.
Right.
So the only reason I feel like she was brought there was to either mislead or...
Well, she states her specific purpose. Why she's there.
I understand that, but...
And this is why I say it is 1,000 years into the future, right? Because
they said it, like...
Multiple times. And she's like, oh, this is, must be 1,000 years in the future.
It's weird. Everyone knows that they're going to go to sleep for a millennia, or they'll be here a millennia later.
Right. So what I think actually happened was For Leonis, what he actually did, why I go to the spell portion of it, is he was teleporting. His magic wasn't that he was technically reincarnating. He was time traveling. And part of the time traveling portion was he had to send his spirit into the future through the stone and be reborn. And the stone give birth because he was in a stone. All right, that's my theory. I'm stretching for the stars. I'm reaching for the moon. I'm hoping for the best. You know what, man? It's better than all this reincarnation spell failed. I'm a human again. Lame.
I got a better one.
Hit me.
So you know how they're really big on magic crystals being a power source, right?
Yes.
My theory would be that it was a spell, like you said, but it wasn't time traveling. It was reincarnation. Thing is, I feel like his spell either wasn't done, which is why he came out too early, or it worked too well, meaning that the spell he said or he used was too powerful, and it reverted him back to a child. So either it was too strong and did its job too well, or he woke up too early. Because remember, he was supposed to wake up 1,000 years in the future to protect, provide, whatever, be with his goddess, who is nowhere to be seen, supposedly. Or she hasn't woken up, or she hasn't been activated. You know, there's so many ors, there's so many buts, there's so many possibilities.
I mean, I'll say this. I know who, I'm like 90% sure I know who the goddess is. And I'm pretty sure you know too.
I'm fairly certain, yes.
Okay. So that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let everyone else come to their own decisions on that. So, all right, sir, I got nothing else really. I honestly don't.
Sadly, me as well.
All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
So I'm probably going to sit in a 7. It's like 7 or 8. No, I'm kidding. That's far too high.
Yeah.
For my disappointment, this will be punished. Typically, this is right up my alley as far as what I'd want to watch. As we know, our scaling system goes from 1 to 10. It doesn't hit 0. 5 is typically middling. It's, you know, I have no strong feelings one way or the other, but I do have strong feelings about this, strong distaste. So I'm going to give this a 2. It's not something that I'd recommend. It's not something that I'd give to anybody else. It's a waste of time.
So you put this on the level of Skycrawlers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it mainly because of the disappointment. Like, they had something good and they just fubbed it. I could be convinced to go up to 3, but I dislike this.
Okay. No, fair enough. Fair enough. For me, the animation was honestly, story aside, animation was actually really well. The animation was good. The character development was poor. Right. So It didn't, the music for it was kind of lackluster. The story overall was just kind of bad. You're left with too many questions in general. There's no direction on it. And so they just kept throwing things at you left or right and then giving you no results whatsoever. It is not something I would actively watch again. I would actually not want to watch this again. At all. I wouldn't even recommend this to anyone, honestly. And during the pre-show, I had said, before you came back, and then after you took your headphones off, I even said, this is like, I could only see at most from you a 5 at most. I said,
well, that's generous.
I said, because while it hit the genres of what you typically like, there's a lot in here that they fumbled. They fumbled way too much for it. I mean, like, in all honesty, I can't give it a 1. It's not like I actively hated it, cause I didn't actively hate this at all. There's only one anime that I actively disliked, actively hated for the primary show that I actively disliked, actively hated. Anyways,
Fair enough.
That's Glass Lip. They did do, in my personal opinion, they did do better than Skycrawlers. In all honesty,
the only way they did it better was they had like 4, maybe 7 scenes total that were, in my opinion, well done and properly animated. Everything else like felt like really, really awkward CGI.
For Skycrawlers?
No, for this.
Well, the awkward CGI was all the monsters, and that didn't surprise me. They have that in almost every anime anymore. So that I'm over that because I see that so often. Anymore. It's kind of like, yeah,
the new norm?
It's kind of the norm. Like, if you watch Black Summoner, CG fighting, really? it's got way worse.
No.
Yes. But it's still an entertaining show nonetheless. If there's a season 2, obviously I would watch it, but it wouldn't be something that I would want to watch myself. It would be something because
you're a completionist.
Yeah, because I'm a completionist. So I feel like they threw out too much, left too much on the table, and pushed too hard for a season two, which just kind of left a bad distaste in my mouth. So for me, yeah. I'm going with a 3.
Okay, so here's what I'll do. I feel like I'm throwing you a bone here because I'm going to have to go off of what you're saying as far as all of the monsters are looking like that. I haven't experienced that myself, but if that is the norm, then I will go up to a 3. Well, but I...
You need to think about this, right? You rated Ajin higher, and the CG, all the anime was bad, CG-wise. The story...
Yeah, but
the story,
saved it. Yeah,
yes.
I can handle bad CGI with a good story.
Right. So this only had some bad CGI, whereas of that had all bad CGI.
But the story, like
some of the animation carried it.
Okay. I mean, so, like I said, I could be convinced for a 3. So I'm going to go up to a 3 just because like it's teetering. It's not as bad as Skycrawlers. By any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no, I wasn't trying to convince you to do that. I was just letting you know. It's like, look, like if your basis is bad CGI, I mean, like, I'm just trying to help remind you of some of the bad CG shows we have watched, because there are others.
But you know, Ajin, yes, it had bad CGI, but here's the thing. It was so good, it overcame it, which is why we gave it such a good score. Granted, it's not something you're supposed to overcome, but that's beside the point.
There's a couple others as well where we weren't fans of the CG, especially when they flip-flopped. It's a plain one. I know what it is. I can't think of it.
I can see it in my head.
But I don't think we rated Ajin that high. Did we? Probably did.
I thought we rated it like close to 7. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Why not? Sure. Why not? Anyways, but for this one, not 7. So, do you want to go 3?
I'm going to go 3.
You're going to go 3.
And the reason why I'm going up is if there are more bad CGI and it's becoming the norm, I can't knock this for following the norm. That being said,
I'll say why it's becoming the norm in the post show. Okay. Why I feel like it's becoming the norm.
Okay. So yeah, I'll mimic your 3 on this one.
Okay, so 3 and 3.
Plenty of TNA. Don't get me wrong, but too much. Too much. TNA is decent and it's okay, but it's not a story.
True.
So
true, true, true. All right. Next week, it's going to be a random choice, and I'm trying to find one that we haven't seen. So hang on. Oh, sweet Jesus, man. You know, it's kind of disturbing how many things we've actually seen.
Dude, 200.
Grave of Fireflies.
262.
Grave of Fireflies.
That sounds familiar.
I have.
Of Fireflies or of the Fireflies?
Well, it's going to be a...
1986 Ghibli. Horror.
It shouldn't be a horror. It's a Hayao Miyazaki film. I feel like I'm saying the name wrong. Grave of the Fireflies, 1989.
1988. Yeah, it says war horror.
Oh, yeah. It's I wouldn't consider it horror.
Well, I'm just reading the genre of it. So okay, yeah, well, yeah, 100%.
I mean, I mean, like the genre is labeled. For the one that I can see, for the Grave of the Fireflies, that is a Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli typically doesn't do horror.
No, that's why I was like, I think I got
they the do. Horror. However, this is classified as a drama historical for them. So if you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything else, feel free to let us know. All our contact information for you is available on our website, FeaturedAnimePodcast.com. If you feel like supporting us here in the pre and post show that we usually do with every single episode, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you want to join us live, hear our thoughts completely unfiltered, fumbles and everything like that, or hear us just hear me yell ridiculous obscenities about food, this for this week's choice, you are more than welcome to. And you can also get notified when we go live if you follow us on our Twitter or if you're on our Discord, and you'll get a little bit nudge. You'll get a little notification saying, hey, we are live, and you're welcome to come join us. And if you want to help support us by getting yourself some nice, delicious treats, you can go to our affiliate link in the show notes for Tokyo Treat and use coupon code FEATUREDANIME at checkout for $5 off your first box. And trust me, the treats are delicious. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.